Lost is a film about journalistic integrity directed by Steven Spielberg and starring Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep. No, not yet. We have to wait. We have to wait and see what happens. There was some great television nominated this year, too. We had another fantastic season of Stranger Things. Stranger Things reminded me so much of my childhood. Not the sci-fi stuff, and I didn't really have any friends. I don't know how to ride a bike. Basically, just the part where a guy from Radio Shack dated my mom. Sesame Street recently released a parody of Stranger Things titled Sharing Things. Meanwhile, Bert and Ernie have been doing a parody of Call Me By Your Name for years. I live in New York, so one of my favorite shows of the year was The Deuce. If you haven't seen it, The Deuce is a show about Times Square in the early 70s when New York was so seedy, there were two James Francos. Oprah Winfrey is receiving the Cecil B. DeMille Award tonight. What a tremendous honor for Cecil B. DeMille. And Oprah, while I have you, in 2011, I told some jokes about our current president at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, jokes about how he was unqualified to be president, and some have said that night convinced him to run. So if that's true, I just want to say, Oprah, you will never be president. You do not have what it takes. And Hanks, where's Hanks? You will never be vice president. You are too mean and unrelatable. And now we just wait and see. So if I may, on my show, we do a segment called Jokes Seth Can't Tell with two of my writers, Amber Ruffin and Jenny Hagel, where they tell punchlines that would be more fun coming from them instead of me, a straight white male. Tonight, that's more true than ever, so we thought we could enlist some of the brilliant people in this room. So let's start. Where's Jessica Chastain? Jessica Chastain, everybody. There she is. Give it up for Jessica. So I'm going to say the setup, and Jessica's going to say the punchline. Okay, here we go. The Golden Globes turned 75 this year.
But the actress that plays its wife is still only 32.
There you go. So much more fun. Where's Billy Eichner?
I'm here, right
okay,
over
great.
Here.
Here you go. Here's your setup, Billy. Call Me By Your Name is nominated for Best Motion Picture. It is a gay coming-of-age film.
Said Kevin Spacey, you lost me at of age.
And you thought it was mean when I said he didn't have a southern accent. Issa Rae is nominated for her HBO show Insecure.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, so that was Seth Meyers' opening monologue from yesterday's 2018 Golden Globes. As you heard, a little bit different than the opening monologues done by Neil Patrick Harris and Jimmy Fallon that were played earlier in the episode. This was much more of a straight joke-based opening monologue. Seth Meyers, obviously a very good comedian and has his own late-night show where he does very similar style jokes. And all in all, it worked out really well with the awards ceremony because his style and delivery fit really well into the opening monologue format. So that'll be the last clip for today's episode of Finding the Funny here on CITR 101.9. Coming up next, UBC Arts on Air. You can listen to the top writers, philosophers, researchers, singers and actors in the humanities, social sciences, and creative and performing arts at UBC. A huge thank you to everyone who listened today, and have an awesome rest of your day. As always, keep on laughing.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah blah blah blah blah.
Explosion.
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag. All types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at CITR. So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
We're talking about a man who just changed Turkey so much in just 15 years.
He was sometimes referred as a military genius and sometimes as a statesman.
I've been learning about him for many years, but I still think that there's a lot more to learn.
It has always been very emotional talking about him.
Although there may be some despair among some Turkish people, I believe the fire he ignited 100 years ago will last forever, and there it will be there forever.
Hello and a happy new year. In the middle of a square at the University of British Columbia, the name Mustafa Kemal Atatürk is inscribed on a large display. And below this name, the years 1881 to 1938. What's out of the ordinary is the use of the number 8, which is made to represent the symbol of infinity. Today, we are exploring Mustafa Kemal Atatürk, founder of the modern Republic of Turkey. We want to understand, in a time when ideas constantly shift in response to our surroundings, can one man's legacy and teachings be celebrated across the world and for eternity? How relevant are the values of the founding figure of a country that is undergoing rapid transformation? And of course, we want to know what message that symbol of infinity at the University Square is trying to convey. And we are doing this not in Istanbul or Ankara, but in fact, thousands of miles away in Vancouver. As you listen to this feature, you will notice Atatürk inspires the Turkish diaspora in Vancouver. So much so, students from a generation far removed from his lifetime quote him from memory. Our journey begins at an event organized by the Turkish Student Society at the University of British Columbia to commemorate Atatürk on the 79th anniversary of his passing. He died on the 10th of November, 1938. I attended the event for Democracy Watch, but just like all our previous pieces of original reporting, we went beyond the event and spoke to a large group of people to learn about the subject of our story. You're listening to Democracy Watch on CITR 101.9 FM. I am Rehmatullah Sheikh. I'm told that 150 people have registered for this event that can accommodate only 100. That's not very difficult to believe. The hall is completely packed. It's brought together Turkish people from all over Vancouver. There are professors who are scheduled to speak today, and in fact, the Consul General of Turkey in Vancouver himself is attending this event. So this is clearly a big deal. It is an important event.
Cumhuriyetinizi, onun cümcümünü doldurdun, en büyük bayramdır, kutlu olsun, onunla.
Mustafa Kemal Atatürk made his mark as an army officer in World War I by securing a victory for the Ottoman Empire in the famous Battle of Gallipoli. He subsequently rose through the ranks and assumed greater military and political role, even leading a national movement against Allied powers and protecting the Ottoman Empire from disintegrating any further. Then, in 1923, came the moment of reckoning for Turkey. Mustafa Kemal officially declared the formation of the Republic of Turkey, became its first president, and abolished the Ottoman Caliphate. The rest is history. But this is where the cliché gets complicated. This history has polarized admirers and critics of this historical figure. While many hero worship Atatürk for his role in the freedom struggle and his reforms, others criticize his heavy-handed approach to, quote, westernize the newly formed country. But the commemoration event at UBC seemed to unite people across the ideological spectrum to remember a man that gave his people what we call today the Republic of Turkey. We spoke to students from the Turkish diaspora in Vancouver and explored what it is about Atatürk that really inspires them. Here's Kardelen Çelikören, the president of UBC Turkish Student Society.
Since the time I came here, I've been very cautious of intercultural understanding. That's what my whole purpose has been for the last 5 years of my being here in Vancouver. And basically that's a value that I carried from my teachings from Atatürk's life. We are raised with the thoughts of Atatürk and how he managed to build this republic from basically a war zone. And we are always taught to, not only with the skills that he has on his own, like perseverance and just basically being really understanding and nurturing and trying to build a community-wise, it's also his successes that guides us to become more successful and just follow that lead.
Matt Gore, the vice president of the same society, sees similarities between Canadian values and those promoted by Mustafa Kemal.
I see Atatürk's values as universal values. What makes you a Canadian is a group of values, right? And I think Atatürk's values are also the values that bring the modern Turkish people together. I think he, carrying his values and presenting to the people of other nations, this is also very important. And we can see how paralleled those Canadian values and modern Turkish values are.
Yaman Malkoç is a UBC student. And when faced with the university's rigorous program in the Faculty of Science, everyone needs that extra bit of inspiration. For Yaman, that inspiration comes from a quote of Atatürk.
Now that you're living in Vancouver and you're a student of UBC, what kind of values do you see come handy when you're living in this new city, and what is it that inspires you about Atatürk?
The best thing about him is he has a brilliantly large vision. He thinks like way ahead of his time. There's an addressment of Atatürk for the Turkish youth. He has written it in 1927, and he was talking about some problems that Turkey can face in further years, like 80 years from his time. And I mean, that's really unbelievable. It's been 80 years since he wrote that, and we're living it right now. He stated some problems that Turkey will face from internal and external factors, and he addressed the Turkish youth that not to lose hope for the Turkish people and work as hard as they can to cope with these problems. And he said that the motivation and courage they're looking for is found inside their veins, in their blood. And these words were very important for me, and those are the words that I follow coming here. After constructing the Turkish Republic, he wrote a letter to the University of Istanbul that some of the most successful, brilliant students in that university were asked to go to a foreign university in Europe. And he said that he was sending them as a sparkle, and he wanted them to come back as flame. And that's something that I took as a challenge for myself too.
Asli Dogamonzor is a student in the Faculty of Land and Food Systems. Now she says that Atatürk keeps her bound to her Turkish heritage while she explores new cultures in Canada.
One of the things that I like quite associate myself with like his ideas is that he was a very hardworking person. Like, this may sound so simple, but I feel like being disciplined and being hardworking in your life can actually help you gain so much. And like, we are talking about a man who just changed Turkey so much in just 15 years. Like, Ottoman Empire was like gone, and then He had nothing in his hand, just a couple of million people, a devastated economy, and no infrastructure at all. And in just 15 years, he created a brand new modern country. And I think that's just unbelievable and amazing. And like this may sound a little weird, but if I'm like discouraged about something that happened in my life, if I remember about this, like if I remember about my history, my culture, and like the things he said, especially to the youth, it just makes me feel like it just gives me a power to move on. And actually, one of his speeches, he said something like, "The ones who start the journey without the thought of having a rest will never get tired." And I think this just sums up everything he has ever done. Like, if you are really motivated, if you really want to achieve something in your life, you will always find the courage to do so. And the important thing is to just remember why we started this journey in the first place.
So those values that you spoke about, hard work and discipline, is that something that you bring along with you in Vancouver?
I came to Vancouver, I came to a very different country because I wanted to, like, become not just a citizen of Turkey, but a citizen of the whole world. Like, I want to see other people, I want to see other cultures, I want to have, like, really interesting conversations with them. But something that I also want to do is keep these values, like, with me. Like, I still want to be a Turkish person, I still want to remember Atatürk and his values as well. And I don't want these things to get lost, yes. So I would say, while I'm learning about something like entirely unrelated and different in my classes, I also have these thoughts about Atatürk and like being from Turkey on the back of my head as well. So yeah, like while I'm trying to get used to other cultures, I also try to remember that I am like coming from Turkey, and that is actually a big part of my personality as well.
İrem is also a student at UBC and she's part of the university's opera ensemble. Atatürk has personal relevance in her life. Her great-grandfather fought in the War of Gallipoli during World War I, and she grew up with stories of Atatürk's bravery. She was a member of the choir that sang the national anthem at the commemoration. It sounded beautiful. İrem admits to me during our interview that she felt emotional during that performance. As a musician, performer, and lover of the arts, she says reflecting on Atatürk lifted her spirits at times of low morale.
It is quite apparent in his quotes that he understands how much effort, how much hard work, how much dedication being in arts takes. And his quotes are always very encouraging. And I feel when a leader shows such respect to arts or to culture or to anything that will, like sciences, it is a great example for the youth. I used to study as a young musician at the Istanbul University State Conservatory as well. And when you enter the school, there is a quote of Atatürk, and I always remember going up the stairs and seeing his quote. And sometimes it gets difficult when you're in the arts. Sometimes you get discouraged and demoralized by comments, or it's a difficult line of work. And when you see his quote, it keeps you going. And I think that is a very important thing a leader can give you.
Now, Mustafa Kemal did not just enjoy a special place in the hearts of individuals. He was a popular person on the international platform too. Rising from the days when the Ottoman Empire was called the sick man of Europe, Atatürk proved to be an important factor in shaping European discourse on the young republic. Dr. Florian Gassner specializes in the cultural history of Central and Eastern Europe. At the commemoration, he spoke of Atatürk's influence on Europe and the effect of his policies on European politics. His readings of German and Austrian literature on the Turkish people revealed footprints of colonial racism. In the early 1900s, it turns out, authors spoke of the Turks as people with great warrior instincts, but a pronounced inability to become an advanced civilization. In short, the Turks would never be European enough. However, in a short span of time, Dr. Gassner notices a remarkable shift in tone.
Let us jump forward merely 7 years into the future and be amazed at how much the tone in German public discourse has changed. We are now in the year 1929, at the end of the Roaring Twenties in Western Europe. The effects of the Wall Street crash of 1929 have yet to impact the European continent, And Mustafa Kemal has already implemented a significant portion of the reforms that would form his legacy. Most recently, the year before, the switch from the Arabic to the Latin alphabet for the Turkish language. It was at this time that the Vorarlberger Volksblatt, a conservative Austrian newspaper, presented its readers with a review that all that had changed in Turkey under the leadership of Mustafa Kemal. The article from November 4th starts out with the same focus as the previous author presented to you. With Kemal's rise to power in the Turkish War of Independence and the rejection of the Treaty of Sevres on August 19, 1920. Thus began the war with the Allies. Turkey was the only state that dared challenge the victor states in this manner. A drama of historical proportions unfolded, which contemporaries must not forget. In 1929, however, this feeling now can be mixed with true admiration for recent developments in the successor state of the Ottoman Empire. The author continues, henceforth, Mustafa Kemal could dedicate all his energy to the difficult task of rebuilding the state from the ground up. It was only due to the immense esteem he attained through his bold actions that he could take on a reform program which stood at odds with all previous opinions of the Turks and which destroyed all medieval world in the Orient. He wanted to mold Turkey into a modern country. To this end, he initiated a thorough process of lawmaking which to this day has yielded 1,353 laws. He crushed the opposition of the Young Turks, curtailed the influence of the Islamic religious counter-movement. He violently moved against minorities because, in his opinion, Turkey should indeed be a national state in which all minorities coalesce.
I spoke to Dr. Gassner to understand if the West still views Turkey through the stained prism of prejudice. But before that, what really was the reason for this prejudiced understanding of the Turks in the first place?
What happened in the course of the 19th century was that former prejudices would be translated through the filter of what you could call scientific racism. So all of the prejudice that was directed against Turks, which would go back to the idea of the Balkans being the antimuralis Christianitatis, the bulwark of Christianity against the evil Ottomans coming in, this was translated in the 19th century into the notion of race, that these negative qualities are just inherent to the people and cannot be removed because they are genetic.
I would say that Turkey is now assuming a very important role, especially in the geopolitics of the region. So if we juxtapose the narrative of Turkey and its people, if we juxtapose the current one with its past, do you think that's changing a bit? And if it is changing, where is that trajectory going?
My fear is actually that it's moving backwards in a sense, because for most people in my circle, it is actually clear that Turkey is not only part of Europe physically, but that it is part of the European community. But what we've seen in the last 10 years is that this feeling has become lost due to, you know, the politics of the day, and that the larger picture has been eluding us at the whole time. Just to give you an example, the argument is that Turkey is not sufficiently in line with the humanitarian principles of the European Union. Turkey has accepted more refugees than most European countries combined, and this goes completely unnoticed in the current debate.
But what is not going unnoticed is the changing profile of Turkey. For a country established on staunch principles of secular and Western values, it's interesting then that the most popular party is a conservative organization with roots in political Islam. The Justice and Development Party, known as the AKP, has enjoyed resounding victories in general elections since 2002. The country is also at the forefront of managing the refugee crisis resulting from wars in neighboring countries. It hosts the highest number of Syrian refugees in the world, with some estimates putting the number to almost 3 million. Looking at all of this, it seems Atatürk's ambitions to homogenize the Turkish society is floundering in the face of new geopolitical realities. So, how relevant is Atatürk and his values in today's Turkey? We spoke about this and much more with Mr. Anil Bora İnan, the Consul General of Turkey in Vancouver. He gave an exclusive interview to Democracy Watch.
What were some of his values that were taught to you, and what was his influence in your life?
His vision, actually his vision in laying down the foundations of the modern republic are, I believe, the most influential part for me in my younger years when I was reading about this this gentleman. He was sometimes referred as a military genius and sometimes as a statesman. I think his transformation from being a military officer into being a visionary statesman is the most striking thing. And I think that influences me again.
The present cannot really be ignored. And I was just wondering if you could explain to us if there is any kind of disparity between the narrative that has been happening, the political narrative in Turkey today, and how does Mustafa Kemal Atatürk and his secular values play out in today's politics in Turkey? And let's say in the socio-economic fabric of the country.
Well, secularism is one of the main tenets of the Turkish society in terms of it being in the constitutional order, and Turkish people still believe that secularism is one of the untouchable, actually, foundations of the republic. Turkish people, Turkish governments, Turkish political elite respects this tenet, and I believe it is one of the most important cornerstones of the Turkish Republic. And it's not only my thought. Atatürk's value and his contributions value is still respected today by anyone in Turkey, actually.
Your mission is based out of Vancouver. This is an important city for the country and has a huge student population. In fact, this event has been put up by Student Society. So what role does the Turkish diaspora in Vancouver have to play in imbibing those Turkish values from Mustafa Kemal Atatürk or anyone else?
The Turkish Canadian Society here is organizing several events in Vancouver. The April 23rd is an important national event in Turkey. That is the opening of the Grand National Assembly and the International Children's Festival in Turkey. The foundation of the Republic on the 29th of October every year. We as the Council celebrate it. The Turkish Canadian Society celebrates it. I think the Turkish Canadians here in Vancouver, though not a big number, we're talking about 5 to 10,000 people, they are a very important bridge. They are all very good parts of the Canadian society. They're all coming from very prestigious parts of the society, and they're definitely contributing a lot. They are very helpful in terms of building more bridges between the two countries.
So is the Turkish diaspora in Vancouver holding these values close to their heart? And do they see their home country carrying the love for Atatürk and his legacy into the future?
Turkey is sort of changing now. Do you feel Atatürk is still relevant in modern times?
Well, yes, definitely. But unfortunately, he's just, for some people, he just remains with his name, not with his thoughts. That's what I think is the main problem with the country, with the people. And that's what is what makes Atatürk get lost in inside Turkey. I mean, we always commemorate him, but we should do this, but by not just with some important days, as like 10th of November and so on. But we should do that every day. We should do that. We should implement our lives in a way that Atatürk would like to see us.
Well, I think education about Atatürk could be a little problematic, because I don't feel like children fully like understand what he means. I went to like a different high school, a foreign high school, and there I really like learned what he means. But maybe like teaching about him could be a little superficial, but like personally I feel like his ideas and his thoughts were like, they could be relevant to any age, because he doesn't specifically talk about Turkey like in the past tense. He always speaks in present tense. Like if you check out his speeches, it's always in present tense. And I feel like they're always relevant, but you know, yeah, like the times are changing, people are changing, the ideas are changing. So it may be a little like hard to still